I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word Podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word Podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
The show that uses the pronouns she, they, and Barbenheimer. I'm Liz Winstead, and I'm joined by my 100% lovable, delightful, smart co-host, Moji Alamodeo.
Hello, Netroots. It is so good to be here. On today's pod, we're going to break down the looming abortion bill case that is poised to further upend abortion access nationwide. We'll also fill you in on where we're at with recent SCOTUS rulings and tell you about where this case could end up.
Yeah, it's not great, Bob.
No.
Plus, we have amazing guests. Community event manager Walker Fitz from the Midwest Access Coalition is here to lay out just how much work goes into helping someone travel to receive abortion and gender-affirming care. Plus, comedian Joyelle Johnson is in town. That's right. She's taping an episode of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and she's going to join us. She's going to sit her ass down, drag some assholes for filth, and we'll talk about comedy, activism, and a bunch of other stuff.
And per usual, we'll drop a steaming dump of this week's Repro News. But first, Liz, how excited are we to be back
again? It's very exciting. Last year was fun because yes. People were like inching their way back. But this year, it really feels like people are back. It feels really great. For those of you at home listening and don't know what Netroots is, it is the largest gathering of progressive journalists, bloggers, activists, people who care about things. There's over 2,000 of us here attending panels, learning how to organize, learning how to communicate, getting in fights with people, challenging politicians. It's really, really great. And it's an honor to be able to broadcast from here.
Again.
Because it's just good. And also, it's really good to talk to progressives about abortion because sometimes progressives think they know and get a little bit cocky. And it's like, maybe you need to learn about abortion because you know a lot about other stuff. But let's listen up to some experts. And there's a lot of really great panels here. So it's awesome.
It's so great. Also, we're learning about tornadoes.
Yeah. So for the people who are attending, we are in Chicago and we had massive tornadoes.
I feel like you're sitting around in your restaurant if you made it here yesterday, and all of a sudden it's like beep 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 tornado, and I was like where?
I know. I heard the beeping, and I was like, wait, is this the right wing saying there's a groomer convention in town? It was like some crazy Amber Alert for the assholes being like, look at them all, they're gathered in one place. Go.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. But it was intense. And Moji is born and raised in New York.
Raised.
And we're eating in front of a picture window. I'm from Minnesota.
Huge window.
And so this, then I look at my phone and it's like tornado, tornado, tornado. And I was like, where's the basement? Where's my mom? Like, where's a lot of stuff?
It was a little bit terrifying. And we were just like, let's get away from this window, please.
But not before our bread pudding comes. we were a little bit like, we're scared, but we really just want to finish our meal too. But it's great. And the tornado, I think everybody made it in. I felt bad. I talked to a lot of people today who had to, like, their trains got washed out. They had to take buses. And, like, somebody told me they traveled 30 hours to get here for a 10-hour trip. But, like, that's how cool Netroots is.
Progressives are dedicated.
They are dedicated.
Yeah,
and to gather together in a time of unprecedented fuckery, you're going to get here.
Yeah.
You can get here by a... Whatever. No, I'll stop.
A singing podcast, Liz.
No, we are not. But, you know, I like to just chime in when I can. All right, enough. Let's get to some of the big stories of the week. You ready? All right.
All right. So if at first you don't succeed at full reproductive oppression, try again. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds will not rest until every uter
Iowan feels her wrath after a 3-3 state Supreme Court deadlocked her 6-week abortion ban last month. This gender Judas and her other anti-abortion apostles spent the first 14 hours of their summer vacation in a special session of the legislature crafting and passing a new, more Iowa Supreme Court friendly 6-week abortion ban amid loud protests calling to vote them out, which we gotta do. And 61% of Iowans do oppose these harsh abortion bans.
I would like to abort these politicians.
I'm ready to abort these politicians right now. No limits on aborting Iowa politicians.
No.
So someone's already filed a lawsuit, and hopefully, you know, Queen Kim can expect a mutiny when she returns to the Iron Throne.
That's right.
Senator Tommy Tuberville. We love him too.
Does more to destroy reproductive rights and the military before 9 a.m., say it with me, than most people do all day. The senior white nationalist from Alabama continues his crusade to block the appointments and promotions of all branches of the armed services until he is assured that no one serving our country who would like to have an abortion will be allowed to. Tuberville shenanigans have left the Marine Corps without a confirmed leader, and experts worry that if this continues, it threatens to shake the foundation of military competence and readiness down to Tuberville levels.
It's pretty low.
That's pretty low.
But get ready to be a part of the over-the-counter culture. Advisors for the FDA voted unanimously on Wednesday in support of an over-the-counter birth control pill. Woohoo! No words as to when it will become available, as it still needs to go through an approval process, a challenge by an extremist group, and of course, an eventual banning by the Supreme Court.
Another pun alert. I'm going to close out the headlines with some Gouda news from the dairy state.
Yes.
Somebody stop me. 2 years ago, Wisconsin lost all access to abortion when the state Supreme Court ruled that a law from 1849 left hanging around on the books was still valid unless banned abortion in the state. Now, the good news is, this week, a Wisconsin judge that has progressed past a Zachary Taylor administration worldview said, nah, man, this is not what the law says at all, and rolled out the red carpet for the Wisconsin Attorney General to sue the shit out of the state and restore abortion access. Right?
That is Gouda news. Some may even say it's cheddar than Gouda. It's brilliant.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying, if I can run a pun into the ground.
No, you triple down on a pun, and I'm proud of you. All right, let's get to the big story.
We thought we'd kick off this Netroots with an update on that abortion pill lawsuit that people stopped talking about in the news. But it's lurking in the bushes, and it could pounce at any moment like a TMZ photographer.
100%. Mm-hmm. So how many of you are vaguely familiar, somewhat familiar about this case that we're waiting to hear on? Some of you. How many of you are not at all familiar with what I'm talking about? Okay, good. So here's basically the sitch. Last November, a group of charlatan anti-abortion people who work in the medical field, some are doctors and a dentist, that is very important, they formed this coalition and filed a lawsuit that said that the FDA rushed the abortion pill through too fast, that if it goes through the mail, they're going to be overrun with patients who need abortions and they won't be able to do their actual other medical work, which is, as far as I can see, oppressing people who want medical care. And they said that they would be forced to provide abortions against their consciences, among other things. They also said that there is a law on the books that prevents mailing abortion pills through the mail. They handpicked a judge in Texas who was an anti-abortion extremist, slapped the case into his district. Shockingly, the judge was like, you are right. That shit's terrible. Let's ban that pill. And then activists immediately were like, no, let's appeal. The Supreme Court heard the case and sent it down to the court above him. Let's hear what they have to say. That court happens to be the most conservative court in the United States. They heard the argument, and now we are waiting. So that is sort of the overview of what's happening. But let's break down what we're waiting for and what happened in that case, because it's so fucked up.
So one of the funny things, and one of my favorite parts, is that based on what used to be legal standard, these plaintiffs don't have standing. They haven't suffered any harm. They are anti-abortion doctors, which means they don't provide abortions and never have provided abortions, and one is a dentist, so I want to know who's going to a dentist for abortions.
It's like, hey, I work on cavities, so maybe. What are you doing, sir?
A cavity, a uterus, same.
Yeah, you know, it's all something. But also, like, who in their right mind seeking abortion care is going to see a physician who wants to throw them in jail for seeking abortion care? It just, none of it makes sense at all. in the least.
And they also did say, they were like, oh, we do have three cases of where there's been harm from the abortion pill that we've seen. Turns out those pills were not approved by the FDA. They came from India. They were not the pill that we're talking about. It's apples and oranges. It's not apples and apples.
When the judges were asking their questions, they were like, so have any of you actually seen anybody who has actually had a telemedicine appointment or has come to you with FDA pills? They were like, no, but hypothetically, maybe we could, and we just, our caseload could be too great. And like, what are we going to do? And the judges were like, maybe you're right. So it was just a shit show. And part of the case they were relying on is something called the Comstock Law. Anybody familiar with the Comstock Law? Okay, this shit's crazy. So the Comstock Law is basically, if I could sum it up super quickly, this puritanical shitbag.
Comstock is the puritanical shitbag she's talking
Comstock
about.
Comstock was outraged that you could get sexually suggestive things through the mail. Magazines, you could get, you know, sort of all sorts. He was really pissed. So what he did was he collected as much of it as he could.
Through the mail.
No shit. Stockpiled porn, all kinds of stuff. Bless his heart, who isn't? But then he called up Congress and he goes, do you know what people are sending through the mail? I have stockpiled it all and I want to bring it to Congress and put it on a display. So he drove to Congress, put it on display. They were like, oh my God, this is terrible. We have to ban this. We'll start an act and name it after you. And the act basically says you can't send morally objectionable materials through the mail that would influence the morality of people, Americans, and you can't send any kind of abortifacients through the mail. And it was like, yay, they named it after him. But that wasn't enough for that guy. That guy then became part of the Postal Enforcement Service so he could make sure shit wasn't sent. That was back in the 1800s. Law's still on the books. And these crazy extremist physicians are like, yeah, so we want to also count that in as a thing. So that's America as it stands.
And when we talk about the ways that like progressives don't get things done, there's been so many years we could have repealed that law.
Yeah, maybe repeal that law. Maybe.
I think people were like, it's not going to happen. And I'm like, oh, I remember when they said that about Roe.
Or about this law in Wisconsin. Or about the laws in Michigan. Or about these laws that have been on the books all the time, lingering about zombie laws, they call them.
Yeah, so the first judge said, Kosmarek said, no things for you. So then the Fifth Circuit is looking about it. If they win, they could make the FDA go through approvals again for the abortion pill for mifepristone. They could make FDA approval for use of the abortion pill up to 7 weeks. Right now, it's about 10 and a half weeks, almost 11 weeks.
Yep.
It could make it only in-person dispensing, which some states have that, but federally, that is not a requirement. And they could make it that there's no mail or no telehealth access to them.
That means if you live in New York or Michigan or a place where it happens, that can no longer happen. And I think that's the chilling effect that people forget is that this federal law could be the thing that takes it away from the states who have said, you know, we want to codify this. We want to make sure this happens where we are.
Have you guys heard of Josh Hawley? So his wife was a lawyer for Alliance Defending Freedom, and she's a lead lawyer on this case on the part of the plaintiffs. Interesting note, she is also the lead lawyer on the 360 Creative web case that she just won, where basically a web designer who had never designed a wedding lawsuit said, I don't want to start this business because I don't want anyone to ever ask me. And the SCOTUS said, yep, that makes sense. That's fully a right that a thing you've never done, that you've never been harmed doing, is a thing that you shouldn't be compelled to do. Well, it's the same lawyer. And the levels of standing are about the same.
I mean, that's the part that when we think about that 303 case, what it means, Aaron Hawley set a precedent that hypothetical harm trumps actual harm.
Yep.
Right? And so this weirdo web designer who ain't nobody going to her website, you know, graphic design is my passion. It's now Aaron Hawley's jam. It seems like this is her, like, her niche is to create standing for people who have absolutely no business bringing cases before the court, right? It's the same with these doctors. There is not a snowball chance in hell that any of these doctors who say they're aggrieved, who might have an overflow of patients for some miraculous reason, who knows, have hypothetically said that hypothetically their caseload will be great. Hypothetically, they'll be forced to create some kind of like unconscionable medical situation for themselves that they can't do. And it's all bullshit. And so now we're left with what is standing, who gets to serve, and how far will they take it?
And it's going to make it to SCOTUS. I mean, the Fifth Circuit is pretty bad. And so there's almost no way that they're not going to uphold some level of the fuckery in this.
And then we're going to have to challenge it. So either way, if we win, the other side will challenge it.
And so it's like, what can we do, right? Well, there's one little Hail Mary that we may have, and it's something the FDA has called enforcement discretion. And that is basically a way that the FDA can sort of say, we can choose to or not impose regulations and requirements to make sure that adequate supply is available. There's been no indication that FDA is even considering this, but it is something that could be in our toolbox.
And we're pushing for it. We have a petition at Abortion Access Front that tells the FDA, please use your discretion to do this. It's controversial. Some people are saying it sets a terrible precedent. But at this point, if egregious lawsuits are preventing people from getting care, what else do we do? Yeah. How else do we help people who are harmed? I mean, we know the other ways. We're going to be getting the pills and we're going to be doing all kinds of clandestine shit. Let's be real. But we really need to put everything we out there. So if you want to sign the petition that tells the FDA, please use your discretion to let this pill.
Yep. Afront.org is our website. And you can go to our petition and you can sign and you can say, come on, FDA, back us up here.
That's right. And also, we follow this case every day. I mean, we wake up panic scrolling just to see when the case is going to drop. And so follow us on social at Abortion Front. Listen to the podcast and we'll keep you updated. So for those of you who are listening and those of you who are abortion seekers who don't know where to go, as always, we remind you that the best, most up-to-the-minute resource on accessing abortion care and funding your care is ineedana.com. That's ineedana.com.
Yes. And now we're going to move into an even more fun part of our podcast. And this is when we talk to our people.
Yes.
So joining us from Midwest Access Coalition is community and event manager Walker Foots. At MAC, he focuses on access to abortion, especially for queer folks, Plan B, and community engagement.
Please welcome Walker Foots. Hi, Walker. I know it's tight up here.
That's okay. Hello. Thank you for joining us.
God, I'm so excited to be here.
You work with our former FPK host and heckler, Marie Kahn.
Marie in the house!
At Midwest Access Coalition. So can you talk about MAC and the work that you do there?
Yes, absolutely. Midwest Access Coalition is a practical support abortion fund, which means that we support abortion seekers that are traveling to find care. Mostly people that are traveling to, from, or within the Midwest, but in the last year or so, we're branching out, helping other people from other states, mostly Texas these days. We assist with travel, lodging, food, childcare, any kind of expenses that someone would incur if they're crossing state lines to access care.
Woohoo!
No. We're big fans.
It's a big job. And I just want to say, when Dobbs happened, there was a flurry of donations that came in and people did great. But then people needed so much help that those funds got eaten up really quickly, y'all. So I would suggest a monthly donation for these folks.
Absolutely. We even have a weekly option.
Ooh! That is aggressively amazing.
Donations.
Exactly.
Yes.
Walker, I love that you are community event manager. And I wanted to know, what are some of the strategies you use to effectively engage the larger Midwest community in expanding abortion and supporting abortion access?
We're really trying lately, especially this past year, to just get right into those communities and show up where they're going. So we've been spending a lot of time at concerts, markets, fashion shows, street fests, all kinds of things, handing out free Plan B, other kind of swag, all of our information. We're also working on putting some emergency contraception vending machines up, first in Chicago, but we're working on getting throughout the rest of the Midwest, Indiana, Ohio. Which would have free Plan B and hopefully at some point other harm reduction options.
It's so awesome. And, you know, Marie, not to embarrass you, but like I learned so much from you, from being on this podcast, from what practical support actually means, especially being a person of privilege. There's just so many things that unless somebody is constantly reminding you of the kind of care somebody might need, there's considerations people don't think of, right? And so Walker, one of the things I wanted to ask you is, what are some of the things that you want people to be thinking about outside of general, we're helping folks get abortions? What kind of folks need certain kind of considerations? And what would you say you would love people to be thinking about to expand their thoughts about who accesses care?
Absolutely. I am personally very passionate about queering abortion. Yes. I personally have had an abortion and I do identify as trans. I do not identify as a woman. In the last year, it's great that people are so excited, but there are people that have been working for this for a while that may not be aware of how queer people and how trans people need abortion care, especially the barriers that are faced. A trans person that needs an abortion in Texas already has to travel to go to a clinic, and maybe the closest clinic has the word woman in the title, and that's already inaccessible and uncomfortable. And the whole time they're there, somebody is misgendering them or using parts for their body that they're not comfortable with without asking first. And then they have their whole trip home, and it just is not a really welcoming or comfortable environment for anyone that is not a cis woman. And on top of, again, all of the other barriers to getting access, that is just one more thing to think of that makes it a stressful situation.
I think that people don't consider what cultural competency looks like when it comes to care, and how just really talking to people for 10 minutes could change a whole way that people approach how they give somebody really compassionate care.
Absolutely. I mean, even these communities themselves aren't really aware of the kind of care that we need. I personally am on testosterone and just found out recently that I can still get pregnant. And I just found out that emergency contraception works for people that are on hormones and HRT.
Say that again.
Plan B in emergency contraception works for people that are on testosterone.
Yes.
This is important information that people just don't have.
It's
That's right.
absolutely important. And, you know, a lot of straight cis folks are like, well, why do queer people need abortions? They can't get pregnant. But that's absolutely not correct. There's something we like to call T for T relationships, trans for trans. And, you know, everybody has different body parts and it's not really apparent from the outside, and anybody can get pregnant no matter who they're sleeping with. So it's something that a lot of people just kind of ignore, the queer community, when they're talking about abortion care. But, you know, because there aren't as many studies and there's not enough information out there about healthcare for trans people, especially reproductive healthcare, you know, we know less than anybody what we need for ourselves.
I love that. It also goes back to when you're in communities that are vulnerable or that people don't understand, those communities are forced to explain themselves at a far greater rate, and nobody should have to explain why they need reproductive care or abortion care. It's like there's no good abortion, there's no bad abortion, every abortion's different, and everybody who needs one deserves to have it in a way that is compassionate and in a way that is accessible. Full stop.
Yes.
So thank you for all you do, Walker. It's incredible the work
that you're
doing.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Walker, for all that you do. You can access free emergency contraception and support their work at MidwestAccessCoalition.org. Our next guest is a friend of the pod and a self-proclaimed abortion stan.
She just happens to be in Chicago to tape an episode of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and we snatched her up to blab with us at Netroots Nation. She's a writer, actor, comedian, whose stand-up special, Lovejoy, was nominated for a Critics' Choice Award. Please welcome our friend, board member of Abortion Access Friend, Joyelle Nicole Jansen!
Hey, guys. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Joyelle. So you're in town to do Wait, Wait?
I am in town to do Wait, Wait. It's my first time. I've never done it before, so I'm a little Wait, Wait virgin. I'm going to pop a Wait, Wait cherry tonight, baby.
I don't think I can say that on the show, though. You can.
You can.
We say everything on the show.
Cool.
Yeah. So you are not shy about talking about race, gender, and abortion in your comedy. What have been the reactions from people?
Oh, I recently had a person, they just tweeted at me, calling me a political sellout, which was very interesting.
Because
I was like, how am I a political sellout? I guess they think that I'm doing this for like if Candace Owens, like I'm the opposite of Candace Owens, like I'm really a Trump supporter, but I think the money is in being an abortion supporter.
Ah, yes, so, big abortion where the cash is.
At Joyelle Nicole, so sad that to get a show, you had to play kiss ass with the left agenda, promoting racism, abortion, gay lifestyle, adoration. Political sellouts are not funny, sweetheart. And I just said, thanks for watching, boo. A view is a view. But also the funny thing is I've been getting a bump in my special because Kevin Hart dropped one on Peacock. So they've been suggesting my special after. And I was like, this person likes Kevin Hart? So strange. Kev, you got weird fans, buddy.
I love when they describe exactly who you are
and how proud you are of it as a diss.
We get it all the time. It's like, you abortion-loving whore. I'm like, yes, absolutely. All those would be true. It's incredible. Okay, so going back, when Joyelle and I met, Joyelle did the very first fundraiser we ever did starting this organization. And then we went down to D.C., and we did a comedy show that was part abortion storytelling and then part people doing stand-up. And Joyelle, you were doing stand-up, and then you spontaneously told your abortion story, and it was powerful. I remember, I'm going to probably start crying now.
Aww.
But it was incredibly emotional for you. Will you talk about, like, because all of a sudden you just started talking about it, and I was not expecting it, and I knew that you had said, I one day I'll be ready to tell my story, she said to me, but then you just told it.
Yeah, that was a crazy moment, because it was just like, right, I decided in the moment, I was like, let me just go on ahead and tell this story. And, you know, for those of you that don't know, I got pregnant on the floor of an Amtrak train in the restroom. I see somebody judging me with eyebrows. Don't unfurrow your brow. Unfurrow. But also, like, if you having sex on the floor of an Amtrak train in the, you know, in the restroom, maybe you shouldn't be a mother. So... And I thought of that line right before I got on stage. And I was like, I think that might be a funny way to approach it. And then was able to tell my story after that. And ain't cried and teared up on stage. But, you know, your girl's an empath. So I am used to crying in the weirdest places. I cry in the shower. I cry on the subway. I cry a lot. It's like peeing to me. So you got to get those tears out. It felt great, though, telling the story.
Don't cry in lieu of peeing.
No, not in lieu. In addition to, yeah, you know?
Okay. Cry on the toilet.
So that was my first time telling a story, and now it's on my special. And I got nominated for a Critics' Choice Award, I think, for telling my abortion story in my special. So I'm so proud of that. And people come up to me after and just say thank you. And, you know, I like compliments.
It's such a good story. All right. For those of you who don't know about AAF, part of what we do is we tour the country. We do shows and we showcase local activists and providers. And Joyelle has been in the trenches with us for years. So what are some of your most memorable moments, both outrageous from extremists and also helping the clinics?
Okay. We have a lot of outrageous moments. They call me the protest whisperer because I love talking to the antis. It's one of my favorite pastimes because, you know, they stupid. And it's just fun. And you, like, I just keep asking them questions and just get them into. There was one woman in Mississippi in front of the Pink House, and I asked her, you know, like, how many babies she had adopted, and she was like, well, there aren't any available. And I was like, girl, you a whole ass lie. Like, not available. You mean no pure white ones? What are you talking about? Hush. So that was an interesting moment. And I remember Greg Proops was with us in Mississippi, and he's like escorting people into the clinic with us. And this one guy was just like, Mr. Proops, your celebrity status is not going to save you from hell. And he was like, really? My C-list celebrity status?
Wait, don't tell me I'm going to hell.
Right? It's like, there's no VIP list for the guys from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Apparently, it's Satan's line, Joyelle. That's whose line it is.
So one of the stories I appreciated, we're with another comedian, Mehran Kagani, who is an absolute just ridiculous human being, you know, always with a fan and a sparkly blazer. So we were having a good time outside, and the antis were praying. And then we just were, like, playing some music, and they kept, like, looking over at us. I was like, hey, ain't y'all supposed to be praying? And then they just got back to the praying. And I was like, y'all ain't real prayer warriors getting distracted by a line dance.
That was in Baton Rouge. And I remember that because I've never understood, like, if I believed that somebody was murdering babies on the reg 24/7, 365, I wouldn't be dancing at some point or think I could use humor to talk about it. And that's, they don't understand that we get to do that because their foundational premise is flawed and wrong. And our foundational premise is righteous. So we get to make fun of them with humor. We get, and so it's so bizarre to me when they do that. But Joyelle, the traveling that we did together that is my most epic was
when we were in Little Rock. And this man is, I sat on the curb. It was 1,000 degrees in Little Rock. And yeah. I was like on the curb, pouring sweat down, probably menopause and pouring sweat. And I was just like, ugh. And there's the extremists are outside of our shows. They come to our shows a lot. And I'm on the curb. And this man is in Joyelle's face.
Yelling.
And I am at crotch level.
Ooh.
Joyelle, take it from there.
Yeah, so he's yelling in my face, and he's, you know, just like, you know, all the hits, you're going to hell, Martin Luther King didn't die so you can have an abortion. I was like, really? Word? Okay, take it there, I guess. And he's just screaming at me, and then Liz noticed he had an erection.
Yes,
yes,
he had an erection.
Yes, look at him.
Shaming Joyelle. And I just said, I just was like, so I'm sweating and then I look and it's just like, you know, the tent is in front of me. And I was like, this man is hard, Joyelle, shaming you. His kink is shaming you. I'm not kink shaming him. I'm saying kink shame, shame kink. I don't know.
Kink awareness.
Kink awareness. There is some fucked up thing going on with this tented anger boner in my face.
Yeah.
And then he was mortified. And then I would just remember saying, sir, don't worry. We have pictures.
Yes. And then, don't wear like sweat shorts to the protest.
Yeah.
Maybe
free balling when you're hating is just like a bad idea. Don't free ball at a protest.
Don't
feel
do
like,
it. You know,
I mean,
you
that's,
two
you know,
pairs of boxes.
Yeah. Hashtag pro tip.
Yeah.
I think is how that goes. Well, Joyelle, you always say yes. You always come out with us. You are such a big proponent of just helping bust stigma. You are so funny. How can people support and find you other than at our booth to blab with us after the podcast?
Yes, blab. And I'm going to Montreal for the first time with the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. So I'm excited. And I'm doing my first solo show in Montreal. So I will be there, you know, smoking a cigarette.
Pilgrimage.
Some cheese. I don't know what's happening. So that's happening July 27th, my solo show. But I'll be in Montreal for about 10 days. So, you know, I'll be like poutine headed
nice.
By the time I come back. So yeah, look out for that. And Joyelle Nicole. Oh, also Survival of the Thickest just dropped today. So whenever you guys hear this, go to Netflix and watch it. Michelle Buteau's show. And I got a little cameo on there.
Amazing. And watch your special. It's incredible.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's just cute
after
too.
You watch the Kevin Hart one.
Yes.
Apparently.
I love, like, those streaming channels are so racist. It's just like, if you like this black person, you'll like this black person. And it's like, what?
Yeah, they're like, right? Huh?
I mean, it's just always, they just lump women together. It's just like a whole thing. It is just next level. Well, Joyelle, you are awesome. And watch Joyelle's special on Peacock. Love Joy. It is so good. But we're not going to let you go quite yet.
I was going to say, she's actually going to stick around because we are about to play the Feminist Buzzkills party game that is faster than Monopoly and more fun than Taboo. That's right. It's called 6 Degrees of Abortion. And it is with me and this time Joyelle. Take a story from the news and Liz has 6 chances to link it to abortion. So in the news, beloved Padma Lakshmi, I don't know if anyone else loves her as much as I do, is leaving Top Chef as the hostess person, that toast person she's been. But she's been replaced by this really hot woman.
Very hot. Very
as opposed to Padma, that dog.
It's a different kind of hot. It's a very hot hot, though. Yeah, no. It's
what's
just,
it? What kind of hot?
She's more butch.
Okay. All right.
She's more
right.
butch.
Okay.
She'll take your man and your girl.
And your girl. And her name is Kristen Kish.
Okay.
I'm very excited about her. And also, she's Asian, just like Padma. So that's really great, too.
W-O-C.
And a former contestant on Top Chef. So
okay.
I would like you to take 6 times to get Kristen Kish to abortion.
Well, I could backtrack and say she's replacing Padma.
She's had an abortion, right?
Yes. Are you just talking?
Apparently, yeah, Joyelle is playing 6 had, degrees of abortion.
Padma's had an abortion. That's okay. You're doing great.
I'm practicing for wait later. They about to
no,
test
no,
me.
You're doing great. So Padma's had an abortion. The end.
There we are.
We made it.
We have
1 degree.
Bam. 1 degree.
But also, I mean, there's a couple different ways you could go. I could go with, you know, Padma has a cooking show.
Ted Allen also has a cooking show, Chef. Ted Allen is very active in pro-abortion fundraising and putting himself out there. Ted Allen actually did a fundraiser for Abortion Access Front, so I could have gone that route. But Padma having an abortion seems like obvious. Like, why why not? Why not just go, Padma had an abortion. Boom. Mostly. And we're not just outing her abortion, by the way. She's announced it. That's why we know it. It's like, Padma had an abortion. You know, it's like not.
We're not breaking news here.
To be perfectly honest, I just want to talk about the new host of Top Chef.
That was obvious, Moji. That was obvious. Okay, Joyelle, we are not releasing you. We are releasing you, Joyelle. Follow her on the socials at Joyelle Nicole. Watch her Love Joy on Peacock.
Thank you. Love you guys.
And
well, you know, the Feminist Buzzkills podcast would not be possible without the generosity of our fake sponsors. Liz, who's supporting our podcast this week?
Well, Moji, it is the one-year anniversary of the Supreme Court decision that toppled Roe v. Wade. So join the United States Mint, Harlan Crow, and the Clarence Thomas Moore Society in celebrating with the Dobbs commemorative coin. This keepsake may be just the size of a dime, but carries the value of a fully formed dollar bill. Each coin features a priceless etching of the Supreme Court justices who ushered in the Dobbs decision, smiling at the future they've created, a uterus behind bars. 80% of the profits from the sale of the coin goes directly to the Clarence Thomas Moore Society to fund more coins to memorialize the losses of other rights not explicitly mentioned in the Constitution. Call now and get your Dobbs commemorative coin for the low, low price of $19.73 using the promo code ALECO.
Yeah, that sounds like a piece of crap.
Yeah, that sounds like not the greatest. We don't have the greatest sponsors.
I already bought 10, though.
We need to work on that. So if you want to join our Patreon so we don't have to have these fake sponsors, that would be also very, very, very fun. This was awesome.
This was so much
Before
fun.
Before we go, we have a couple minutes. We thought we'd take some questions. Does anybody have any questions about anything at all to do with any abortion-y related, any that you can possibly think of? Why not fill some time with some questions from the audience? The question is, pro-abortion folks give a shit for being funny? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, they do.
A lot of
times. And then I also say to them, you're not pro-abortion. Because truth be told, it kind of goes back to what we said earlier, which is that is perpetuating stigma to say that people cannot, find joy within exposing horrible people. It's also saying that somehow there is a morality clause that they have come up with, right? That involves abortion has to have some bit of shame and regret for it to be acceptable. I will not let that stand. And I just also feel, too, that the one thing the anti-abortion movement has zero of is joy of any kind. Their God is joyless. Mm-hmm. The way that they raise their kids is joyless. Everything about them is oppressive. And I just don't understand like what they're promoting. I had some guy screaming at me and I just had to stop him and say, I'm a communicator for a living. You have to sell your God better. Let's just take a step back and just talk. Don't come in hot with God hates you. It's like, wow, first of all, God hates, kind of a bad lead. Like no one wants to be around that God. You know, and just like there's no quality at all. So we just don't fuck with them. If they want to have that opinion, I feel like I'm not interested. I'm here for inclusion and for helping people feel good and positive about their experiences and for really listening to how people want to have their experiences treated. Because we're not just always funny. If someone's coming and really dealing with whatever their experience is, you always let them talk first, let them guide and then figure out how to make that comfort zone work. But listening is key. Being funny, also key. The question is, what should a young woman or a young person do who doesn't have a platform yet, is in school? What is the most effective way that they can be? I mean, I think there's a couple of different things. Number one, talk about abortion openly and without caveat in spaces that it might feel uncomfortable so that it becomes normalized. Also, really think about how you want to be in the world when it comes to advocating. So think about reaching out to organizations in your community, talking to your friends, especially on your campuses, because the anti-abortion movement is very strong in organizing on campuses. There's a horrible organization called Students for Life, run by a woman in her 40s. Hasn't been a student in years, maybe never was. Unclear. But I think, you know, I think being a force and a presence, because for far too long, we haven't talked publicly about abortion in spaces where it needs to be talked about, which is every space.
Right.
How do we also, as people in the community, advocate for more compassionate, gender-affirming care with our own physicians and in the community at large? Walker, you want to pop up here real quick and answer
please.
That one? Because I feel like you have some amazing answers that would be better than two cis women answering that. And we have you here.
At the physician level, even just talking to the people at your doctor's office about the words that they're using, my doctor still calls it a women's wellness exam, even though they know that I'm not a woman. And I, you know, why not just call it a pap smear?
Or a wellness exam.
Absolutely. Yeah. Asking like what body parts specifically, a lot of like queer and trans people are not comfortable with like the word vagina. So asking your providers to, you know, double check what words you want to use for your body, using different sized, a different size, speculum. Yes. Queer and trans people that are on hormones often have, some atrophy of the vagina. So sometimes a smaller speculum is necessary. So
aging women also, and
yes,
aging people.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Asking your providers if they have that stuff on hand and like what they are doing to make their spaces more comfortable for people that don't identify as women.
Also, Walker, if you could say, like, it would be nice to say to your doctor, there's a really great resource for you to use to familiarize yourself with terms. Is there a resource that you could give to everybody that people could say?
If I'm being honest, I don't have a resource. There aren't a lot of resources out there. We are all kind of creating our own resources. Mm. Even when doing research on like Plan B on hormones and stuff, there's basically no information out there. No studies, just like no studies done on the effectiveness of emergency contraception on fat people and people with a higher BMI. Nobody really cares. So there are resources out there that like the queer communities in your neighborhood will probably have on hand, but really we're all just kind of making this up as we go. Trans people have been around forever, but have not been allowed to be public and out and socially acceptable until very recently.
Thank you so much for that, Walker. I'm so feel very lucky that you were here to answer that. Thank you for your question. The question is, what gives us hope?
Oh my gosh. Well, I think what has been giving me hope, Abortion Access Front has existed for a while, and we have been sounding the alarm about all of these attacks on reproductive care. And Dobbs' decision was a heartbreak, but I think the way that more than before, people in this country have really woken up to where we are and how terrible abortion access is in this country has given me hope. I also hope that we sustain our energy for supporting our abortion funds, for overturning unjust laws, for ballot initiatives, for all the things that we can do to fight for voting out assholes. But just seeing people now being a lot more energized, people coming up to me more like, oh, you work in abortion access? And then want to tell me about their abortion stories. These are the sort of things that give me hope.
And I think for me, it's working in community with the people doing the work and being able to provide a resource for them. Every day when you wake up and you are familiar with Midwest Access Coalition, you know, with the apiary, with these people doing incredible work, and knowing that they're dedicating their lives to do this really incredible compassionate care really gives me hope. And also being at Netroots Nation and having this many people at an abortion podcast, that gives me hope. It gives me hope that progressives and people who are liberal or whatever are actually interested in being more than just pro-choice or being more than just mad. You know, these statistics that we keep seeing, 60% of the people support abortion access, 70% of the people support, those statistics have been around for fucking ever.
Yep.
It's moved the needle maybe 5%. It doesn't matter if you care about it. What matters is, are you going to actively not allow oppressors, colonize our bodies. That is really, how hard are you going to work for that? And we have a great community of activists doing it, but that needs to grow, right? So I think it does give me hope that people are doing the work in it and that we get to wake up every day and help support them.
Thank you, Joyelle and Walker, for joining us on stage today.
Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for being here live. Please support the pod, like, subscribe, and show us some love with a 5-star rating. And don't forget, you can stay up to date on all the latest Repro news between episodes at Abortion Front on all the socials. Let's make a difference and have some fun doing it.
We have some upcoming events. A live show in Atlanta at Terminal West, July 20th at 8 p.m. I'll be doing some stand-up along with the incredible comedian Baron Vaughn, star of Grace and Frankie on Netflix. We'll be talking to the Amplified Georgia Collaborative about what is at stake for Georgia when it comes to reproductive health, rights, and justice. Ticket link is on our website.
Looking for where you might fit in some abortion activism? We've got a 5-part activist training series, Operation Save Abortion, at operationsaveabortion.com. And visit our super cool activist calendar, which is full of local and national actions and educational opportunities.
Next week's guest, more from Netroots Nation with Allison Gill, who is the founder of MSW Media and executive producer and host of the Daily Beans and Mueller She Wrote podcasts.
And join our Patreon. You'll support great content and get cool FBK merch and experiences. All pledges support this pod and all of our activism at Abortion Access Front. Pledge at patreon.com/feministbuzzkills. FBK is edited by Remedia Tournay and is produced by Abortion Access Front.
Finally, we leave you with the white supremacist Dalton Clodfelter, a man who shows his whole ass when he says what he thinks should happen to people who have abortions.
Yeah, arrest these whores. Arrest these sick people who murder children. I'm all for that.
Feminist Buzzkills, the podcast from Abortion Access Front. New episodes drop Friday. Listen, subscribe, give us 5 stars.